Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 18, Verses 1 to 23. Sutu vacha yo vajan yastavi pishta mamatu rudare mita anugrahad Bhagavata Krishna syad buddha karmana. Sri Suta Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Jonah in his mother's womb, could not be burned. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langhayate girim yakipam tamaham bande si guru minatavinam mom agyana tivinandasya gananjana sharakaya chakshumaritam yena tasmai shri guru verana. In the absence of Lord Krishna, Kali has appeared, along with various inauspicious symptoms. Parikshit, a strong Vaishnava king, has punished Kali, driving him out of his kingdom. Yet, Kali got some concessions. He can stay wherever there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. But the problem is, in Parikshit's kingdom, there was no such place. So therefore, he gave him another concession. And that is, he can stay wherever there is gold, or hoarding of gold. But Parikshit again stopped Kali. He took all of the gold, and he used it to spread the Sankirtan movement. So therefore, Kali could not even stay in that place. Such is the behavior of a Mahabhagavat devotee, king. So Prabhupada urges the leaders of present-day society to also use all the money for preaching Bhagavatam and the holy name. So now we have heard in the last chapters about the birth and activities of Parikshit. Verses 1 to 10, of the first 10 verses of this chapter, are a transition. They will complete what has happened, and they will bring us to the next part of Parikshit's life. Now, we have finished hearing about his activities. We're going to hear about what is going to happen to Parikshit that will lead him to come to sit on the bank of the Ganga and hear Bhagavatam from Sri Shukadev Goswami. And these sages will then begin to speak again, and they will glorify Parikshit and describe, Sutta will describe the benefits of Kali Yuga. Actually, you heard about all the bad things in your last class, I'm sure, about Kali Yuga. So today we'll hear some of the benefits of Kali Yuga, what's good about Kali Yuga. And we'll try to have a little discussion about that also after class. I mean, after the lecture, not after class, after the lecture. So now we've heard about Parikshit, how he was protected in the womb. And Sutta says, furthermore, this is verse 2, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy. So here Prabhupada, in the purport, stresses the consciousness of a surrendered devotee of the Lord, what it means to be surrendered. What is he called in Sanskrit? A surrendered devotee in this verse. Narayana Parayana. He takes complete shelter of Narayana. So Prabhupada says here, for him, nothing is as important as the Supreme Lord, and thus he gives equal importance to heaven and to hell. He knows well that both heaven and hell are creations of the Lord, and similarly, life and death are different conditions of existence created by the Lord. But in all conditions and in all circumstances, remembrance of Narayana is essential. So that's the only thing. The devotee doesn't care where he is or what condition he's in, but he wants to have that remembrance of Krishna. That he must have. He doesn't want to forget Krishna. And that's, if he forgets Krishna, he feels that's the worst thing that can happen to me, that I forget Krishna. Prabhupada describes that there is a path toward liberation and the higher planets, And there is a path downward also. But the devotee doesn't care if he goes up to the heavenly planets or he goes down. Either way, he doesn't mind. Because for him, Krishna is with him. There was in 1968 in Los Angeles. If anybody has seen the Los Angeles Temple, it was actually the first temple that was a church. Very big, opulent temple for the devotees. Very beautiful temple. And now they have many, many buildings around the temple. But in the beginning, there was no temple. And the devotees were living there without any temple or any residence. They were living scattered all over Los Angeles. So in 1968 in Los Angeles, Tamala Krishna was speaking to Prabhupada. And he told Prabhupada, I found someone who will give me a big garage. It's not a temple, but it's a garage. So for those of you who don't know what a garage is, in America, people have two cars, usually. And for their cars, they have a house, and it's called a garage. So there's no windows. There's just like a big gate for the cars to go in. So one person was offering the devotees this garage to use for kirtan and for the temple. So Tamal was saying, oh, 50 people can fit in this garage. So Prabhupada said, immediately, we should take it. Never mind, we shall turn hell into heaven, Prabhupada said. He said, Swargapavarga. So he quoted Swargapavarga. Heaven or Brahman, effulgence or hell, they're all equal to the devotee. Doesn't matter, because if Krishna goes with him, then it's not hell anymore, because Krishna is there. So where is hell? And so Prabhupada said, if somebody is voluntarily offering, immediately accept, we'll sit down there, and we can decorate it immediately. And so this was Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada said that he knows hell is the kingdom of God, and heaven is the kingdom of God. So Krishna is there, you just have to bring him out. The devotee knows how to do that too. Pure devotee, he has the power to bring Krishna into any place, to make any place a place of pilgrimage. And so Parikshit, he was not afraid, because he knew if he just remembered Krishna, that's all that matters. So this is the consciousness of a devotee for us to aspire for. Verse 3. Furthermore, talking again about Parikshit, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa, Shukadeva Goswami. Thus he was able to understand the actual position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a very nice point in this purport. It's around the middle of the purport. It's Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada states, you can look where, yes, it's about the middle. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Param Dishtvara Nivartate. Does everybody know that verse? Param Dishtvara Nivartate. Yes? Vishayavi Nivartante. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. That's a different one. So, yes. Okay. So, this verse is saying that you can give up all your connection. Well, here Prabhupada says in the purport, one can give up all connection with material attachment when one is able to see the param, or superior quality of things. So what is this superior quality of things? The devotee is able to see. This is spirit. He can see the spirit. So, this is what Parikshit Maharaj, he was seeing the spirit, he was seeing the spiritual energy at work, and so therefore he was not disturbed. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit was able to receive the mercy of such a personality as Shukadeva Goswami. Thus he was able to know the actual position of the unconquerable Lord. It is very difficult to find the Lord from the Vedic literatures, but it is very easy to know him by the mercy of a liberated devotee like Shukadeva Goswami. Where is this? What is Prabhupada saying? Yes? Brahma Samhita. Vedeshu dulabham adulabham atma bhaktya. Yes. So Prabhupada is describing the Paramahansa. He sees the spirit. As we heard in the beginning of this Bhagavatam, Paramo nirmat saranam satam. This Bhagavatam is for the Paramahansas, for those who are searching for the spirit, who want to see the spirit, and even in this material world. So one time, Prabhupada was walking on Juhu Beach with Dr. Patel, and they were discussing this point about Paramahansas. So Prabhupada was asking Dr. Patel, what is a Paramahansa? So Dr. Patel said, who can make distinction between spirit and matter? Prabhupada said, yes. The hansa, the swan, he takes out the milk. When milk is mixed with water, he takes out the milk and he leaves the water. So the Paramahansa, he takes out the truth. He takes out the spirit and he leaves aside the matter. So this is what Parikshit, this is how Parikshit is being described here. Qualities of Parikshit. Verse 4. So let's see the verse before. He surrendered to Vyasa and he was able to understand Krishna. So how is he able to understand Krishna? This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions, even at the last moment of their lives. So here is the remedy. Always remember Krishna. How? By constantly chanting and hearing his glories and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the prescription by Suta Goswami. As long as the great powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. The very day and moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into the world. So in this purport, Prabhupada explains a technique for driving out Kali. What is that technique? You remember? Constant chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this is what Parikshit did. Prabhupada says, the second sentence, if there is an arrangement for the constant chanting of the holy names, qualities, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no chance at all for the personality of Kali to enter. So we should always remember this, because not only can Kali enter into this government, Kali can enter into our heart, our very heart. And Kali does come in our heart when we act impiously, when we act against, when we forget Krishna, then Kali enters. So how to stop Kali from entering our heart? Always chanting the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada says in the purport, instead of vibrating some nuisance sound for sense enjoyment, if the state arranges to distribute transcendental sound by resounding the holy name, fame, and activities of the Lord, as authorized in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, a favorable condition will be created, principles of religion in the world will be reestablished, and thus the executive heads who are so anxious to drive away corruption from the world will be successful. So here Prabhupada says, just use all this technology to glorify Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada was having a very nice view of the executive heads, that they want to drive away corruption. They say they want to drive away corruption, but actually, do they really? And that is the question. Okay, so verse 7, here's a very wonderful verse, and it explains why Maharaj Parikshit did not kill Kali. And it explains concessions for us in this age of Kali, for the devotees. Maharaj Parikshit was a realist, like the bees, who only accept the essence of a flower. Again, Paramahansa. He knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, auspicious things produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effects. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. So what is this? What does this mean? Prabhupada explains in the purport. What does this mean that auspicious things produce good effects immediately? What is Prabhupada's explanation of this verse and the purport? Very interesting explanation that Prabhupada gives. It says, if you think of doing something good, you will get the result just as if you had done it in this age of Kali. And if you think of doing something bad, you won't get any reaction. In previous ages, if you thought of something bad, you would get the reaction. And there's an example of Renuka, who is the mother of Parashuram. She was going out to get flowers one day for the puja for her husband. And she went to the river and she saw that one of the demigods was enjoying with his wives. She became attracted to that demigod. She fell down in her mind. And then she was late coming back and her husband understood what had happened. And for that mental fall down, he told his first son, kill your mother. Because that's what happens for fall down. You die. So then the first son couldn't do it. He told the second son, kill your mother. He couldn't do. All the way down to the fourth son, that none of the first four sons couldn't. Then he told Parashuram. He said, kill your mother and your four brothers because they disobeyed me. So he killed his mother and his four brothers. And then his father said, okay, what benediction do you want? He said, bring back all of them to life and make them not remember what happened. And so then he brought them back to life. But it was very severe in previous ages, Satyayuga. You thought of something, if you fell down mentally, you got the reaction physically. But now, if you think of doing something good mentally, you will get the reaction physically. So this is the special advantage of the age, one special advantage of the age of Kali. There are more. Maharaj Parikshit, being the most learned and experienced king by the grace of the Lord, was not unnecessarily envious of the personality of Kali, because he did not intend to give him any chance to perform any sinful act. He protected his subjects from falling prey to the sinful acts of the age of Kali. At the same time, he gave full facility to the age of Kali by allotting him some particular places. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, even though all nefarious activities of the personality of Kali are present, there is a great advantage in the age of Kali. What is that? What is our advantage? Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambhaji. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you can get liberation in this age of Kali. And also, Prabhupada continues, in the Vedas also it is said that by discourse on Lord Krishna's activities, one can get rid of all the disadvantages of the age of Kali. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also said, by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord becomes at once arrested within one's heart. These are some of the great advantages of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit took all the advantages and did not think any ill of the age of Kali, true to his Vaishnavite cult. So we can think of so many bad things, but Maharaj Parikshit was not like that, and he was the king, and he saw everything. He saw everything that was happening, but he was not envious of Kali. So verse 8, Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care for the foolish, careless persons. So this is the kind of king we need today, that those who are foolish and careless, who cannot take care of themselves, we have the king, and he knows what's the best thing, and he'll take care, and he'll protect us from Kali, even from Kali, not only from thieves and dacoits and other kings that want to come. He'll protect us from Kali. This is the duty of the king. Very, very important. He's a representative of Krishna, Naradev. So verse 9. O sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully. Verse 11, the good sages said, O grave Suta Goswami, may you live many years and have eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for mortal beings like us. We have just begun the performance of this fruit of activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet, of the personality of Govinda, which you are distributing. So Prabhupada, in the beginning, he says, the sacrificial fire kindled by the sages of Naimisharanya was certainly full of smoke and doubts because of so many flaws. So not only was it physical smoke, there was some mental smoke. What were the problems with the sacrifice that Prabhupada describes in the purport? Why can't we do fire sacrifice nicely? Lack of expert Brahmins. They cannot pronounce the mantras properly. Yes. One more thing is missing in this age too. I don't know if he describes it in this purport. Yes, money. Don't have the money. Requires, even Yudhisthira didn't have the money. He had to go get the mountain, the gold left in the Himalayas. So, requires a lot of money. So, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, Suta Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. So what is the result of spiritual realization? What does this mean? You can feel the effects of spiritual realization, just like you're satisfied. You're feeding your soul. Your soul is satisfied. What else? Nourished. Yes. Nourishment. Satisfaction. Yes. Mitigation of hunger. Right. This is the verse in 11th canto. Yes. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir. Anyatra syat. So this is what is happening with the sages. Prabhupada said the sages of Naimisharanya were practically sufferers from the smoke of a sacrificial fire and were doubtful about the result. But by hearing from a realized person like Suta Goswami, they were fully satisfied. So they're trying to do this sacrificial fire for 1,000 years, but it's not working. It's just like we try to do so many things for Krishna, and it doesn't work. But chanting and hearing is very, very nice. We don't need to have electricity for our computer. Like with a computer, there's so many problems if you try to work and try to do your study by computer, read the books by computer. But you just hear and chant very simply, chant the holy name. There's no problem. You can do it anytime. This will be stressed in this section of verses that we're reading today about chanting the holy name. Now verse 13, I believe you had to memorize this verse, right? Yes? Tulayam malavenapi nasvagam napunapavam bhagava sangi sangasya matyanam kimutashisha. The value of a moment's association with devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. So, just imagine all these wonderful things that people are going for in this world. It's meant for their death. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the analogy is given of the universal form and everybody's rushing into the mouth of the universal form. They're attracted by the glare, just like the moths are attracted to fire. So people are rushing after the material things. But here it says, it's for those who are meant for death. Very simply put, by the sages of Naimisharanya. Another important point, of course, the most important point in this verse is the value of a moment's association with a devotee. So the sages are appreciating the association of Suta Goswami, how he's giving them the nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda. So this word used here is lava, lava, lavenapi. This word is also found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastikoi, lava matra, sadhusange, sarvasiddhihoi. Just a moment's association, not even a second. You know how much a lava is? 1/11th, 1/10th, 1/11th, 1/11th of a second. Only this much time you need with a pure devotee, and you get perfection. 1/11th of a second. Association. How powerful are devotees of the Lord. Of course, we have this experience with Srila Prabhupada. that some people just saw him in glancing. I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj also, he saw him in the park, Tompkins Square Park in New York. But he didn't really surrender and become a devotee until later. But just that fraction, the second, I know people tell me, when somebody told me that when they were a child, oh, who was it? Somebody here in this class was saying, when you were a child, you saw the book, the picture in the window. Just a fraction of a second. I think we should have some more examples for this. Does anybody have any experience? Just a fraction, just moments. Yes, Abhinanda. Oh, you told it in the Vyasa Puja. You saw Srila Prabhupada in the airport. 1 second, oh yes. Everybody went away and just you and he were there. And your life was changed. Yes, Vrindavan Prabhu. You saw the book. How old were you? 13 years old. You saw Prabhupada's face. Right from his book. So, yes, he's there for you. Prabhupada lives. Prabhupada has not died. Prabhupada lives. Yes.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of books about Zen and things like that.
Right.
But I've never seen an Indian
guru. Right.
Unfortunately, it's not the best time to have seen Prabhupada. The newsreel in Australia was, you know, the spiritual founder of the Hare Krishna movement.
Oh, right.
Passed away.
Oh.
Today in India.
Wow. Touching, yeah. Just a second's association. Madhavendra. Jai Nishinga Prabhu in France. He saw Prabhupada getting off the plane. Just the silhouette. I'm going to join. He just saw Prabhupada coming down the steps of the airplane. Just the sight of Prabhupada was a sight. I mean, when you would look at Prabhupada, I was always trying to figure out things. So I was trying to figure out, is he there or is he, you know, where is he? It didn't seem like he was there. It was like kind of a projection of a film to me. I don't know. It was like, I was always like looking, trying to figure it out. But I could never figure it out to this day. Yes? South Africa. Uh-huh. Right. Face of Prabhupada. Oh, wow. When she was giving birth to her son, the face of Prabhupada appeared to her, and then later on she saw it in the back of the book. Yes. 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 Actually, I'll just tell one story, short story. One of my god sisters has a Prabhupada Didi, and when she travels on the airplane, she travels with a Didi. So one time she was at the airport. She was like in a wheelchair, and then she had the Didi next to her. Of course, there's a lot of stories about this Didi. I'll just tell you one. But it was like in the middle of the night, and she had to wait for a plane. She was just sitting like in the lounge or something. And then one guy, security guy, comes, and he's far away, and he says, "That's him, that's him." He saw the Didi, and he was pointing at the Prabhupada Didi. "It's him, it's him." And then he came up to her and said, I need something. He's going to give me something. You have to give me something. I saw him last night in my dream, and I was so upset, and I was disturbed, And he came and he said he's going to give me something. So then she was thinking, oh no, what am I supposed to give him? So then she had a Bhagavad Gita. She said, here, take this Bhagavad Gita. He said, oh, thank you, thank you. But anyway, There's a lot of stories about this Prabhupada deity. I won't get into it now. Someday we'll tell all the stories about this deity because they're quite amazing. But anyway, Prabhupada lives. He's still here. And we can still have the benefit of his 1 second's association or even more if we so desire. We can have hours of Prabhupada's association with his books and his tapes. So we can make our life perfect, just like this verse says here. So the sages were appreciating Sutta for that reason, and we also appreciate Srila Prabhupada for that. So verse 14, O Sutta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages. So Sutta has finished speaking, and the rishis are worried. Now they're encouraging him. You please speak again. Please speak some more. We're not done. Oh, sorry, did I skip something? Okay, sorry. Oh, yeah, my book, sorry. My page is stuck together. I'm really sorry. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? So as I was saying, Sutta finished speaking, and now the sages are very anxious to make him speak more. So they're glorifying him, they're talking of your association is like nectar, this fire sacrifice is useless, we just want to hear about Govinda. Please keep speaking. So every time when Sutta finishes something, now they're going to tell him, no, we want to hear more. So they keep encouraging him to speak. So now they're glorifying even Lord Brahma and Shiva. They want to hear this nectar. Verse 15. O Sutta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages. So the speaker, Prabhupada says, should have only one object of worship and service, Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the audience for such topics should be anxious to hear about him. So we'll keep on reading because we've got some wonderful verses that are coming up here in this chapter. Verse 16, O Sutta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas, Shrita Shukadev. Thus, please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. So now Sutta will begin speaking. Sri Sutta Goswami said, O God, although we are born in a mixed caste, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower births. So we are all, I am disqualified by birth. But by Prabhupada's association, he gave us the opportunity to associate with Krishna, to see the deities, to chant the holy name. It's quite amazing. These things were not allowed previously. So let's see, let's read what Prabhupada says in the purport. The very important purport. Actually, our whole movement is based on this, what Sutta Goswami is saying. Our whole movement, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, is the principle that it is open for everyone. It doesn't matter your birth is not a qualification. What is the verse in Bhagavad Gita that talks about that for Varnashram? What is the qualification? Chaturvarnya mayashistam guna karma vibhagasha. So For devotional service, Nectar Devotion describes there's no qualification. It is our right. It is our right to chant Hare Krishna. It is our right to do deity worship. It is our right to do all these things. And so Prabhupada says in the purport, so this is quite amazing. We have some very great sages here at Naimisharanya. Sutta is not a Brahmin. He is not a Kshatriya even. He's mixed. He's not even one of the four Varnas. He's a mixed caste. So this is worse. This is mixed. He did not take his birth in a Brahmin family. He was born in a family of mixed caste, or an uncultured, low family. But because of higher association, like Srila Shukadeva Goswami and the great rishis of Naimisharanya, certainly the disqualification of inferior birth was washed off. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle in pursuance of the Vedic usages, and by his transcendental association, he elevated many low-born or those disqualified by birth or action to the status of devotional service and established them on the position of acharyas or authorities. He clearly stated that any man, whatever he may be, whether a Brahmin or Shudra by birth or a householder or mendicant in the order of society, if he is conversant with the science of Krishna, he can be accepted as an acharya or guru, spiritual master. Skiba vipra, kipa vipra kipa nyasi, shudra kene noi. Jai Krishna tattaveta, se guru hoi. Whoever knows Krishna, he can be guru. So when Lord Chaitanya first started his movement, there was much criticism from the caste brahmanas in Navadvip. In Adi Lila, there is a description. This is 17th chapter, verse 211. The brahmanas are speaking, the brahmanas of Navadvip. Now the lower classes are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra again and again. For this sinful activity, the entire city of Navadvip will become deserted. According to Hindu scriptures, God's name is the most powerful hymn. If everyone hears the chanting of the name, the potency of the hymn will be lost. Can you imagine? This was the criticism of Lord Chaitanya. Purport, Prabhupada says, the rascal Pasandis think. These are also strong words. But Prabhupada can say that. If that's a purport to this verse, in Adi Lila. If anyone but a Brahmin chants the holy name, the potency of the holy name is vanquished. According to their judgment, instead of delivering the fallen souls, the potency of the holy name is reduced. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that anyone who chants the holy names, Hari, Krishna, and Narayan, without offense, is certainly extremely fortunate, and whether Indian or non-Indian, Hindu or non-Hindu, he immediately comes to the level of the most pious personality. So we are very fortunate for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of Prabhupada, that we have been given this gift of the holy name of Krishna. Prabhupada continues in the purport, second paragraph. Sutta Goswami learned the science of Krishna from great rishis and authorities like Shukadeva and Vyasadeva, and he was so qualified that even the sages of Naimisharanya eagerly wanted to hear from him the science of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had the double association of great souls by hearing and preaching. So two associations are there. You hear it, and you get the association of the devotees also, who hear, ask questions. Prabhupada says, transcendental science, or the science of Krishna, has to be learned from the authority. And when one preaches the science, he becomes still more qualified. So Sutta Goswami had both the advantages, thus undoubtedly he was completely freed from all disqualifications of low birth and mental agonies. This verse definitely proves that Srila Shukadeva Goswami did not refuse to teach Sutta Goswami about the transcendental science, nor did the sages of Naimisharanya refuse to hear lessons from him because of his inferior birth. This means that thousands of years ago, there is no bar to learning or preaching the transcendental science because of inferior birth. The rigidity of the so-called caste system in Hindu society became prominent with only 100 years or so, when the number of Dvijabandhus, or disqualified men in the families of higher caste, increased. Lord Sri Chaitanya revived the original Vedic system, and he elevated Thakur Haridas to the position of Namacharya, or authority in preaching glories of holy name of the Lord, although His Holiness Srila Haridas Thakur was pleased to appear in a family of Mohammedans. Such is the power of pure devotees of the Lord. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita again, Antilila, Advaita Acharya was performing the Shraddh ceremony for his father. In the Shraddh ceremony, you must take the plate of Maha and give it to the most elevated Brahman. So what did he do? He took it in front of everyone and gave it to Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur was complaining. Prabhupada said, Advaita Acharya had confidence in the Shastric evidence and did not care about social customs. So sometimes even we are afraid of social customs. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, Prabhupada says, is a cultural movement that does not care about local social conventions. Advaita Acharya said, feeding you is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas. This is Antya Lila, 3rd chapter, verse 222. The first one is Adi 17 to 11. The brahmanas are criticizing the Sankirtan movement. I have one more quote which you'll like too. But first we'll read some more purport. Prabhupada says, the Ganga water is a wonderful purport for this whole principle of it's not by birth. And okay, because when we first came to India, I came here in 1972, they were criticizing Prabhupada, you know, why are you giving this sannyas? Why are you giving Brahman initiation to these people? You know, they are not qualified. And Prabhupada gave anyway. He didn't care for local social customs. Although in India it was not acceptable. We got our Brahman initiation in Calcutta, my husband and I. We got in Calcutta our Brahman initiation, and we were worshipping the deities in Calcutta. And so anyway, this was Srila Prabhupada. The Ganga water is accepted as pure. One can become purified after taking a bath in the water of the Ganga. But as far as the great devotees of the Lord are concerned, they can purify a degraded soul even by being seen by the low-born. What to speak of association? So we heard these stories, just being seen. Prabhupada was just seen. He didn't even speak to these people, and they changed their life. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to purify the whole atmosphere of the polluted world by sending qualified preachers all over the world. And it remains with the Indians to take up this task scientifically and thus do the best kind of humanitarian work. The mental diseases of the present generation are more acute than bodily diseases. It is quite fit and proper to take up the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world without delay. Mahatamanam Abhidhana also means dictionary of great devotees, or a book full of the words of great devotees. Such a dictionary or words of great devotees and those of the Lord are in the Vedas and allied literature, specifically Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have one more beautiful quote here from Krishnadas Kaviraj, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, chapter 5, verse 84. This is also, this is Antya. Fifth chapter, verse 84. And this is one of the most wonderful quotes by Krishnadas Kaviraj. Krishnadas Kaviraj is speaking, to vanquish the false pride of so-called renunciants and learned scholars, he spreads real religious principles even through a Shudra or low-born fourth-class man. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached devotional service, ecstatic love and absolute truth, making Ramananda Roy, a grihastha, born in a low family, the speaker. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the exalted Brahmana Sannyasi, Pradyumna Mishra, the purified Brahmin, both became the hearers of Ramananda Roy. So this is very significant, very significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the glories of the holy name of the Lord through Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. Similarly, he exhibited the essence of devotional service through Sanatan Goswami, who had almost been converted into a Muslim. Also, the Lord fully exhibited ecstatic love and transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan through Srila Rupa Goswami. Considering all this, who can understand the deep plans of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So we are still seeing this going on in our Krishna conscious movement, that Lord Chaitanya is speaking through the mouths of the Malechas and the Yavanas, preaching to the Hindus through the mouths of the Malechas and the Yavanas. Again, this is very wonderful. This is very amazing. And this is happening right now in this world, all over the world. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna's special mercy is that he can be seen even by the Kirata, Hunanda, Pulinda, all these low-class births. He can be seen if they take shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord. But he cannot be seen even by the most purified Brahmana. So this is a very important lesson, which, of course, we are all living examples of this principle of Sutta Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, and Srila Prabhupada. And it's not new, it's here right in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even 5,000 years ago, Sutta was accepted, although he was a mixed caste, to speak Bhagavatam. Verse 19, here's another wonderful purport, which we're going to get into. And what to speak? So he's talking about conversing with great souls in verse 18. Verse 19, what to speak of those who are under the direction of great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited. So here in the purport, six lines down, again, the same argument. They argue, well, we'll start at three lines down, that birth in a family of Shudras or less than Shudras is made possible but by one's previous sinful acts, and one therefore has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. So we hear the argument that, yes, this life you chant, next life you'll be born in a Brahmin family, and then you can go back to Godhead. We hear this also. Yes, Ganga can purify everyone, but actually, you can get purified this life, go bathe in the Ganga, and then next life, you can come and be born in a Brahmin family, like from maybe my mother or father, or maybe from me, and then you can go back to Godhead. So this we hear these things. Prabhupada says, to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts, one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. A pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. There are 10 different offenses in chanting the holy name. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Hear that? Offenseless chanting. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. What does that mean? We all want offenseless chanting, right? We want to be promoted. So here you can have it. So what does it mean to chant under the direction of a pure devotee? What is the direction? What direction does a pure devotee give? Yes. What's that? Yeah. Disobey the orders, yes. So we must follow the orders of the pure devotee. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Yes, Abhinandam. Yes. The spiritual master chants japa when he gives you initiation, Divyambar. Yes. That's right. If we followed the instruction to avoid the 10 offenses, we'd be chanting offenselessly. And it's not just while you're chanting that you have to follow them. It's your whole day, 24 hours. Yes, Sankirtanas. Material. Again, yes. Give up material attachments. Okay, he's talking about the last offense, right? To maintain material attachments even after so much chanting. Hearing of, you should give up. Yes, well, we can't. Very difficult. So the thing I was thinking about, the direction of the spiritual master. to chant. Of course, to avoid the 10 offenses. But in Prabhupada's lectures, he would often say how we should chant. And in his lecture on the holy name, the first original, the holy name lecture, he says how we should chant the holy name. Crying, genuinely crying like a child for its mother. So this is how we should chant the holy name. That if you ever seen a child that's got lost from its mother, you'll see how the child cries. It's completely lost. And it's not going to be satisfied with anything else. So that's one point. Now, we should also appreciate that Krishna is coming to us in the form of the holy name. Prabhupada in another lecture said that when we chant the holy name, Krishna is coming. Of course, actually, let me go back now to this. First he said, when we chant, we should call out like a child crying for his mother. And when we chant, we should call out, please accept me, please accept me, please accept me. And then Prabhupada, in another lecture, he said, when we chant the holy name, Krishna is coming in the form of the holy name. And Krishna is saying, please accept me, please accept me, please accept me. Because we're not listening, we're not accepting. We're chanting, and the name is coming, but we're somewhere else, accepting something else. Yes. Okay. He's saying there's a stage when we just chant, there's a stage when we also hear what we're chanting. Hear with the mind, intelligence, and ego, soul, yes. Radhika. I tried calling you. So the poem goes, I tried calling you 33,000 times, but when you answered, my line was busy. So this is maybe the state of our japa sometimes, that Krishna has come, here I am, the line's busy. we're somewhere else. Or else we have a two-deck tape recorder. The two tapes are going at once. The holy name is going, and our own personal tape is going of our life. Or our minds, everything. Our minds, crazy mind. Crazy mind. Anyway, so this is very important. To a very nice one sentence that Prabhupada says, to chant under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. So we can meditate on this, what Srila Prabhupada said here. End of the purport. Prabhupada says about Bhagavad Gita, maybe it's not the end of the purport. In the last word, I have it here. Okay, maybe it's not this purport. Let's forget this anyway. It is here in the last word of Bhagavad Gita? Oh yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay, I see it now. The Lord asserts that one who surrenders fully unto him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since his name and he himself are identical, the holy name of the Lord can protect the devotee from all effects of sins. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of a lower caste birth. So now we're hearing how this happens. How is it that we're delivered from the lower caste birth? The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansion of the devotees and incarnations. Thus, every devotee of the Lord and incarnation also can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way. So this is Prabhupada. Chanting, yes. Right. Okay, I'm going to read one very nice quote from Nectar Devotion, which will inspire you to chant Hare Krishna again. This is Nectar of Devotion. It's a quote actually in Satsang Maharaj's book, but it's NOD chapter 21. Here it has a page number. I don't know if it'll be page 166. And it's the quality of Krishna called grateful. Grateful. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So, to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. So if we chant, Krishna remains obliged to us for chanting the holy. This is a quality of Krishna called grateful. We were talking about gratefulness the other day. So Krishna becomes very grateful to us when we chant his name. So this is being emphasized in this section of Bhagavatam, to chant the holy name. It's all through Bhagavatam. But this verse is again bringing it up. Verse 20. We're hearing about the power of the Lord. So the first power of the Lord is in His name. Now, some more power. It is now ascertained that He, the personality of Godhead, is unlimited, and there is none equal to Him. Consequently, no one can speak of Him adequately. Great demigods cannot obtain the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, even by prayers. But this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although He is unwilling to have such service. So we know everybody wants Lakshmi to serve them. Everybody wants some nice money, so to engage Lakshmi in their service. And she doesn't want to go to serve these people. But Krishna doesn't need her, and there she wants to go. So that's what this verse. She's very eager to go serve Lord Krishna, even though he doesn't want her. And so this is what they're saying here. Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to Lord Shiva as a worshipful welcome. This very water, the Ganga, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva. So the water from Krishna's feet is also very powerful. Verse 22. Self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which nonviolence and renunciation are consequential. So this is describing how attachment to Krishna automatically gives you renunciation. Prabhupada in the beginning, he says, four lines down, dry philosophical speculation is a subtle sense enjoyment of the mind. So there's gross and there's subtle. Sense enjoyment leads one to the path of darkness. Those who are self-controlled can make progress on the path of liberation from conditional life of material existence. The Vedas therefore say, Tamasima Jyotirgama, don't go to darkness, go to light, liberation. Self-control is actually achieved not by artificially stopping the senses for material enjoyment, by becoming attached to the Supreme Lord, by engaging one's unalloyed senses in the service of the Lord. So now at the end of the purport, Prabhupada describes what is real renunciation. Who can tell me what Prabhupada says? What is real renunciation? Yes, Amalagora. Yes, and the other side? Right. We renounce our dependence on material things, facilities, conditions. But we don't renounce dependence. We don't become completely independent. We depend on Krishna. So generally we think renunciation means we become independent, finish with everything else. But no, we become very dependent on Krishna. And this is, I think, was described in the 13th chapter, the Dhira, the Narottama. Narottama, he is depending on Krishna. Madhira, he simply renounces. But the Narottama, he depends on Krishna. So Prabhupada says, renunciation means, this is the end, renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature, thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. This Paramahansa stage is the highest perfectional stage in Bhakti Yoga, process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So one time, Srila Prabhupada in the early days, not so early, but maybe in the 70s, early 70s, many, many men were going to Srila Prabhupada and asking, please give me sannyas. So then Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, why is everybody coming and asking me to give sannyas? So that disciple said, because they want to become independent of the authorities. So this is not the reason to renounce, to get renunciation, to renounce everything. So this is, Prabhupada is telling us, it's not because we want to become independent of the authorities, to renounce the authorities, that we take sannyas, but to renounce our dependence on the conditions of material nature. So verse 23, the last verse for today. O rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. So in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said to Krishna that only you know yourself. And we heard a verse previously, I think it says that the Mahajans know Krishna. Who was saying that? I think Bhishma, I can't remember who was saying, somewhere in the previous chapters, that so the Mahajans, they know you. They know Krishna. So Sutta is saying that I really don't know, but I'll try as far as my realization goes. So we speak according to our realization. Unfortunately, I don't have much realization, so I just try to give you what Prabhupada has said, Prabhupada's realizations and his comments on the verses, so then you can have the best realizations. So I'll stop here, but I want to just tell you one story from Bhagavat Mahatmya. And this is discussing verse 7, the advantages of Kali Yuga. Because we often wonder, of course, why didn't Parikshit kill Kali? And it would have saved so much trouble. So actually, in Padma Purana, the same question is being asked, but not right at the beginning. Narada Muni was traveling, and he came to Vrindavan, and he saw a beautiful, beautiful woman sitting very dejected on the bank of the Jamuna, and in front of her, two old men. So she saw Narada. She said, oh, saintly person, please help me. My name is Bhakti. These are my two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. He said, when I came to Vrindavan, I also had lost my youth, but when I came here, I regained my youth. But my two sons, they are suffering so much. So can you please help them? So Narada said, because of Kali Yuga, good behavior, yoga, austerities have all become lost. Saintly people are unhappy, the demons are enjoying. He said, everyone neglects you and your two sons. Then Bhakti raised the question, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj just kill Kali when he came? Narada said, although the king knew Kali Yuga was useless, he spotted one essential good quality. And we already said what that was, right? What is that? Kalir Doshi, Kirtana Ariva Krishnasya. That goal, which is not attained by penance, yoga, samadhi, is equally easily attained in Kali Yuga simply by Hari Kirtan. So this is what he said. Oh, beautiful one, there is no other age like Kali Yuga, because you will be established in every house as well as in the heart of every person. So Narada said that. He said, hear my vow. If I do not preach your message, subdue all religions, make devotional festivals predominant, I shall not be considered the servant of Lord Hari. And Narada Muni made that vow. In Kali Yuga, those people who will follow you, even if they are sinful, will go to the abode of Lord Krishna without fear. So then Narada tried to wake up Jnana and Vairagya. He's chanting the Upanishads, chanting Vedanta Sutra, chanting all sorts of mantras. And they stretched, and they yawned, and they went back. They couldn't get up. They had no strength. And he said, then he heard a voice from the sky. He said, "Oh, Devarshi, you will be told to perform one very specific noble act by some saintly person. Don't worry. Your endeavor will be successful." So then Narada, he was traveling, going to many holy places, asking the sages, "What is it? What is the solution? How can I wake up Gyan and Vairagya? They're sleeping in this age of Kali. Nobody is renounced. Nobody has knowledge. What can I do?" So then he went to Bhadarika Ashrama and he performed austerities. And finally, the four Kumaras came. And they said to Narada, "You should simply chant Srimad Bhagavatam. That will revive them." And Narada said, "But I already tried to revive them chanting Vedas, Upanishads, no success. How is it possible? Bhagavatam, it's just the essence. How would that work?" So Kumara said, "It's true, Bhagavatam's the essence, but because it's the fruit of the tree, therefore it's accessible. The essence, the fluid, the nectar goes throughout the tree, but when it comes into the fruit, when it's concentrated, then you can taste it." So the same way, Krishna is throughout the Vedas, but you cannot taste Krishna until you get the fruit, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you can taste Krishna, Krishna Leela. Once Vyasadev was unhappy, and you taught him Bhagavatam, don't you remember? So he said, "Yes." So then Narada and the Kumaras went to Haridwar, bank of the Ganga. They decided to recite Bhagavatam. All the sages came. And then at that time, the glories of Bhagavatam were described by the Kumaras. When Krishna was leaving this earth, Uddhava said, "Kali Yuga will begin. Saintly persons will become demonic. The earth will become overburdened. Who will give her shelter? How will your devotees maintain their lives in your separation?" Hearing these words from Uddhava, Lord Krishna invested all his power in Srimad Bhagavatam, along with himself in his unmanifested form. Then the Kumara said, "We should know Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna in the form of sound. One who serves, hears, or sees Bhagavatam becomes free from all sin. In Kali Yuga, hearing Bhagavatam is the chief religion and superior to all other means." So then while the Kumaras were glorifying Bhagavatam, Bhakti appeared with her two sons who had been rejuvenated. And she was very beautiful. With the ornaments, she was wearing the ornaments of the imports of Bhagavatam. And she said, "In Kali Yuga, we were almost lost, but now you have rejuvenated us." So we are also here trying to rejuvenate Bhakti and her two sons here in Bhagavatam. So my question is that we've heard how there are, that chanting the holy name, reading Prabhupada's books, this is what we're preaching in the Sankirtan movement. So how has anybody seen how this Sankirtan movement has stopped the effects of Kali in your country or in your place, Alila Madhuri? What's the proof? 1999. Third World War. Yes. Actually, I was sitting here in Vrindavan, and there was, you know, somebody had predicted that, you know, there was a bomb was going to fall on Mathura, you know, on July 18th, 1999. So it was, you know, about a week before, someone came up to me and said, "Oh, did you hear the news?" I said, "What?" "Oh yeah, a bomb's going to fall over here." And I said, "Really?" And anyway, I was not in a good mood at that time. And so I said, "It's pretty boring around here. Give us something to do." Anyway, but the thing is, it's a fact that all the astrologers, I remember 1999, and people were saying, "Oh, you better not go to Vrindavan, this, that." And yes, Vanamali. What's that? Young boys, where? In college. Right. Oh. The college boys. Okay. Yeah, we see the college boys are usually very degraded in all colleges, and even here in India. And he is seeing how the congregation, they are changing. How it's changing the college. Yes, Divyamur. Oh, yes. People are becoming. When I went to England this time, I was amazed to go in the supermarket. They have whole shelves just for vegetarian. And I heard that 1/4 of the people in the United Kingdom are vegetarian. That's what I heard when I was there. 1/4. It's amazing. I mean, unheard of. When I became vegetarian, people thought you're crazy. You know, it's 1970. There was very no vegetarians. People now it's like acceptable. It's, you see the little mark on the thing in the West for vegetarian. Yes, Madhavendra Puri. There's only grass. What's that mean?
Grass is left.
Acha. What does that mean?
Grass.
There would be no more grass if there hadn't been Sankirtan movement. Interesting. Did you want to say something? Later, okay. Sure. The Porsche Motor Car Company. Porsche advertisement. Different bodies. Yes. Different bodies, one soul. For a Porsche Motor Car advertisement. Yes. This is a fact. Yeah. Unity and diversity. I didn't hear that. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, unity and diversity. Is anybody? Yes. You can't comment on that. You had a different one. What's that? Okay, you wanted to finish the last one, the Porsche advertisement? Okay. So he wants you to finish. Did you have some more to say on that? Okay, his comment is unity and diversity is like a Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Actually, it's very inconceivable how all these diverse personalities, all of my godbrothers and godsisters, how Prabhupada could unify them. We can see after he left, it's very, very difficult. But when he was here, everybody was very together. Yeah. Really? Other religious groups use it. They adjust their preaching now. Whoa. Yes. They have to adjust it. Yeah, I read somewhere where even the Pope in his last communication was saying our problem is that we're separated from the Lord, which is the head of the Catholic religion. Of course, he got Prabhupada's books. He got the Bhagavad Gita. So it could be, he must be reading. Yes, Avinanda. Yes, and also Kirtiraj. Yeah, the Pope has met the devotees, and I know he got the Bhagavad Gita very early on. He got it from Ajamila. Yeah? So then obviously he's been reading it. This is very nice. Okay, now Madhavendra Puri. Over 1 million books were distributed by mid-70s. 100 million? Wow. Oh, okay. 100 million books by the mid-70s. And that was actually only because it only started in 72, book distribution. Yeah. Because book distribution diminished.
Other spiritual groups, I mean, the people who distributed books to, they were not properly followed
up. Oh, right.
So they got followed up by other groups who benefited from the book that we had given to those.
Oh. Who said this? I'm sure. So other groups followed up. We kind of made them get off. Yeah. Yeah.
So they ended up with a big stock of people having some good knowledge due to our books. And they ended up in the other.
Very unfortunate. Unfortunate. Kali Yuga.
Because all these good ideas of Shri Prabhupada were spread
Okay. So you're seeing the good. Yes. Okay. Sankirtan.
Mainland China, it's interesting.
China.
We don't have an official position, so we're not registered. And then we distributed a lot of books. Now, at some point, one man, a spiritual leader, started to have his following.
Yes.
Everything he says is from Prabhupada's books.
Books. Even he's very smart. Wow. Wow.
I have no idea that there's an international society.
This is China.
Yeah, China.
Wow.
And these men, he got hundreds and hundreds of followers. And they met in secret. Now he's in prison. Some point. So he did a lot of groundwork. Somehow used it. And now he wants to. Basically, nothing happened so far.
Yeah.
But they got into all kinds of troubles.
Their group.
Yeah, their group. Their followers.
Do they know that they are. They and us are the same?
But she never gives any credit to Prabhupada.
Yeah. Anyway, she's being used. Yes. Forgot you. Akhiladar.
I want to say one story about how she got to say about big disaster. And one at random.
Where is this now? Tell us where you're talking from. 69. Only they wanted the order. They were ready to.
Because this time was situation on very intense.
Okay, 1969.
And they several months two months they were already strong.
Okay.
And they wait only for order.
Okay.
And this time when Shiva father come from New York, this time they get order to go back.
To go back. So when Prabhupada came to New York, they got the order to go back. America was surrounded. Five or six submarines surrounding America, ready to destroy, ready for nuclear war, 1969. But as soon as Prabhupada came, they were just ready for the order to shoot. As soon as Prabhupada came, they got the order to go back to Russia.
Same day.
Mad. This, yeah, that must be 65 or 60.
Many.
65, not 69. So 1965, the same day that Prabhupada arrived in New York, the submarines got the order to go back to Russia. Yes. There are many things that happen like this. That's only one. Oh, wonder where they got that idea. Yeah, he obviously. Acha. Okay, Marangopa, and then we'll start on this side here. Yeah. In the movies, yeah. Yeah, ghost. Okay. Chanting in the movies. I've got to go on this side now, and then I'll come back to you two. Madri? She saw the movie on the flight over. Yeah. You hear the chanting. Yeah. Apartheid in South Africa. Horrible people. Maximum security prison. All by yourself?
Yes.
Oh my God. Going all by yourself to maximum security prison in South Africa. Imagine. Yes. I can't imagine you. Okay, go ahead. Oh my God. In the prison. They could. So these prisoners were taking matchsticks and making japa beads and taking thread out of their uniforms to string them together. My goodness. Amazing. Maximum security. Okay. So how Kali is pushed back. Just imagine the worst place to be. We think we have it bad. Yeah. Right. They weren't bad anymore. They weren't criminals anymore. Wow. Okay, wonderful story. Who was here? Divinbar, was it you? That had your hand? Did you have your hand up? Yeah. Karma, yes, karma is now part of, in yoga, part of the language. Guru. In reincarnation. Oh, yeah. 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 Majority of people. My son was watching a TV program he told me about, and there is this, you know, just one of these soap operas, just these comedy serials, and one of the programs was where there was a man and there was a woman, and then somehow the woman got in the man's body and the man got in the woman's body for a day, and it was like that, and they couldn't adjust. So it was, anyway, they're getting the idea. Yeah. Right.
And
yes.
The whole music thing, and of course, when Prabhupada came in at the time when the world was certainly changing its psyche.
Yes, that's true.
But the music, how influencing it is.
Yes.
It was directed, and George Harrison had a lot to play in that. And if you look at music worldwide now, for the last 25 years, it's become more spiritual in the sense that there's so much world music incorporating chants.
Chants.
Local, indigenous, spiritualization of towns. You know, it's a big industry now.
Wow.
And certainly it's only come about more or less, perhaps on a large scale,
yeah.
Prabhupada's appearance.
Right. That's okay, that's another symptom.
And personally, I had an example in Australia of how it's affecting people because we're pretty well established in Australia.
Right. Right.
But at one time I was in the snowfields. I used to collect there and it was good. And I walked into a bar. I couldn't believe it because I walked into more bars in my life than I ever used to walk into.
Since you're a devotee, you walked into more bars. Preaching.
There was five or six young men, head shaven, wearing bed sheets. And they were running around, posing as Hare Krishnas.
Oh.
And
yeah, right.
And it was very
good. Prabhupada would have liked it.
Everyone was enjoying it.
Yes.
They're all going
Hari Rama. Yes. And so this is the influence.
Even if we're seen sometimes humorously,
it's still wearing. Oh, yeah. Even it says that in Bhagavatam. You chant humorously the holy name. Yashoda. Okay. Yeah, actually, I just came to my mind one story I remembered. This was a few years, maybe, I don't know how many years ago, but one of my god sisters, her name is Padyavali, and she was a big book distributor. She's very old. And one time, it was the GBC meeting in Mayapur, and they were discussing about America, what to do, the book distribution has gone down. We think the Americans just don't want books anymore. It's very difficult now. The time is very hard to distribute books. And so then she got up there and she said, no, that's not the problem. The problem is we're not doing it. They want the books. And then she gave a story. I'll tell you the story. That there was this one guy who was, they were on the street distributing, and he was drunk and he was causing so much trouble to the people. And they noticed this guy. And they were actually, she wasn't distributing books, she was distributing flowers. And then she had books with the flowers. First she would give somebody a flower, and then she would give a book. So then, so she had been doing this book distribution. It was like for the first time since many, many years, because it hadn't been going on in America. So this guy was going, disturbing all the people on the street, and finally he just collapsed on the ground. And then she went up to the guy, and she just dropped the flower on his chest. And then she was kind of scared, what's going to happen now? You know, we dropped him, we gave him a flower. And he was unconscious, and he opened his eyes. And he saw the flower, and then he saw the devotees. And he said, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I want him. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he gone? And so then she said to the GBC, this is the voice of America. We want the books, but we're not giving. Yeah, Astra. Oh, Astra. Oh, yeah, yes, yes. Oh, especially in India. Maruti. Really? The government in which? South Africa? South Africa, okay. They're inviting the devotees to give opinions. Wow. Okay, they were invited by the government of South Africa to talk about AIDS, and they had all the ministers chanting Hare Krishna. All right. Okay. Anybody, any sane person cannot stop dancing in kirtan. They must dance. This is a very good symptom, very good quality. To a stadium. Wow, just to chant.
And there I met one
bodyguard,
one minister.
Bodyguard of a minister. Who couldn't come? Oh. Okay, so one bodyguard of a minister came up and said, I like Bhaktivedanta's idea. Bhaktivedanta Swami's idea that God is dancing in our tongue, and I'm experimenting with this. This is so nice. Yes, Nishinganda. Janmashtami Day, South Africa. The world what? Summit for? Oh, summit meetings. Oh, summit. Which countries for? All over the world. This is political people. From each country. Okay. 60,000 people. Summit. Whoa. 2-hour Harinam. Escorted by the police. Whoa. You cannot have the kingdom of God without God. Whoa. Okay. The devotees had these, had the placards. Maharaj, to the delegates. Wow, 60,000. Amazing. Sustainability. Oxygen. Yes. Yes. Whoa, that's really good. So it sounds like they're starting to listen. They called him back. He handed out memorandums. They called him back a week later to give another lecture. This is, yes, Vanamali. Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam. The Brahmin has raised the question. Yeah, yes, yes. They weren't allowed to enter the temple, Sri Rangam. Oh, yes. Well, only ISKCON devotees are allowed to go in Shivanga. Oh, that's very good. Okay, two more, and then we stop. Sri Vrindavan? Leader of the... Where is this? In South India. Leader of the Ramanuja. He received the devotees. Long hair. Oh, earrings, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Acha. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Right. Yes, they're getting. Okay, Parvati was next, and then Madhuri, and then finish. Fell down. Oh. 400 centers when the iron curtain fell down. Yes, Madhuri? Very violent. In where? In Johannesburg. Johannesburg. They throw things at the Harinam party. Yeah. There's a similar one with that Nam Hat devotee that left his body. That he was beat up, somebody beat him in the morning, and he kept distributing books the whole day. And finally, at the end of the day, the man found him and begged forgiveness and said, "What can I do? What can I do?" And so Nam Hat said, "Just take this book." He took the book. Yeah, same story. Like that. The Sankirtan devotees have to tolerate so much. So anyway, we had this discussion, and we have a note that I'll bring up tomorrow. And if you had any questions or comments on today's verse, we'll also discuss tomorrow. All right? So all glories to Srila Prabhupada.